The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.
Welcome back to the Gimmick Podcast on the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. Hi, Ken. Thank you. Today, we're just going to be doing a big sort of recap of everything from WrestleMania week, and I'm joined by Mr. John Rocha.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me back, man.
Absolutely loved having you on. That was last year.
Last year.
Because we talked about, we did the Aftermath episode of Jedi Alliance, yeah. And then you said, F John Cena, and I went, hey, can you spare some time? And yeah, that was when I went, you know what? This John Rocha is a pretty good person.
Oh, thanks.
And we're coming up on another book review episode, yes, of Jedi Alliance, which, yeah, is weird.
Yeah.
But Hobo being a professional wrestler, constantly traveling and working and training, we don't always have an opportunity to sit down, but you and I, now that we have Jedi Alliance, yeah, we have a little bit more of an opportunity to be like, well, if we plan early enough in advance, I can tell scheduling, hey, can I have 3 o'clock off as well, so yeah, that we can just go through and talk about wrestling, because wrestling's perfect. Pretty great. How was your WrestleMania? Because you didn't spend it. You didn't watch the whole show live.
No, I didn't actually. Usually I hang out with, it's the first time I've ever missed a WrestleMania fully live, because I had to do the Walking Dead recap show. Mm-hmm. On another network,
sure,
if I'm allowed to
know. Okay. We're not affiliated, so that's okay.
On the Collider Network, and unfortunately, and then a lot of my friends were not in town to watch it with me because, wow, they had stuff going on. So what had been our tradition for the last 10 years in this city, we weren't able to do for any number of reasons. And so for me, I had to get the network, and then I had to watch it the next
morning. But you didn't
have
the network yet?
I kind of walked away from the network for a while because of all the stuff I'm doing, and I was like, it doesn't make sense. But then I was like, no, I'm going to get the network. I'm going to get back on the wagon for a year and see how it goes, because I'm cutting all my cable and I'm just going to, you know, buy things that I
get what
want.
You want.
Yeah, exactly.
Get what you want.
And so I jumped on, and it was so, I tried to avoid the spoilers as much as possible and then watched the matches I wanted to watch initially, and then went back and rewatched and then watched the other matches.
So
it was a
weird,
really weird kind of piecemeal WrestleMania. Like, what do I have the energy for tonight?
Weird.
I'll watch that. Then the next morning, before I see any spoilers, I'm just going to pop it on and watch the matches that I didn't watch the night before.
Because that was a huge show. That
it really was. It was a five-hour show.
7.5-hour show, if you include the pre-show.
Yeah.
And there was one pre-show that was just recap, and then the second pre-show was matches.
Yeah.
So that, and let me tell you, sitting in that center, the entirety of that show was... I would say it was rough, but we were in the press box, so it wasn't as rough as one would expect.
Right.
And I don't want to go back to not being in the press box, because it was, we're friends with Sam Roberts. We're friends with Bill Hanstock, who works for another company. He covers it for Cage Side Seats, so he has tickets there. And all of the folks that we've been meeting all throughout the weekend, we're all there as fans, as well as people covering the event, like, just having a good time. And we had, not drinks, but beverages, not alcohol. That would have been even worse. But food. And we all got like printouts of all of the, once they announced that they broke the record, they gave us a printout, and we all got an email so that we could all post it to our respective media. We got a printout of the new women's championship belt.
Wow.
Like, it was the coolest thing to be like, what? I'm just a dude here to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
But it was a hell of an event. What were some of your favorite matches?
Well, I love the Shane McMahon match. That was so great.
That was brutal.
And I didn't expect it to be as interesting as it turned out to be. I thought it was going to be like just kind of him carrying him a little bit. I didn't know who was going to carry who.
Because
Shane hadn't fought forever. At least Taker had somewhat recent matches. But from what we'd seen from Shane, he hadn't wrestled anywhere else, you know? So
he hadn't wrestled, but he's been doing, like, MMA training
just to
stay fit.
Yeah.
Because that's what rich people do.
Right, of course. But that's also not... You know, it's not like what they say. It's not a game shape. He wasn't in necessarily game shape. You know, you can train all you want in preseason. It ain't till the season that stuff really starts happening. And so I was worried about how it would go down. And I knew he'd pull off one of his crazy stunts. I just never thought he'd go off the cage again, man. I never thought I'd ever see that again. Yeah.
But so we... in the press box, we had an interesting thing because we had the television feed as well as the live. Yeah. So we had commentary over watching what was in the ring.
Yeah.
So we got a chance to watch Shane kill himself and then look at the television to go, oh, thank God they padded under the table. Thank
Got to see that. Oh, nice.
Yeah, because everybody just quiet. And like, he's not, all right, something's going to stop him, sign of the cross. Crap, he's going. Yeah, he's
the sign of the cross is the indicator always. Yes.
Didn't, like, heck of a performance from both of those guys.
Absolutely.
My match of the night was the women's triple threat match.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sasha is, without a doubt, my favorite wrestler right now.
Absolutely.
And she got...
Male or female?
Male, just in general, agreed. My favorite wrestler of all time right now. And she got her entrance. She got her and Snoop getting that entrance.
That was awesome.
It's like, here's a family moment. Uh-huh. She got the Eddie tights.
Yep.
That were made by a friend of the show, Mikazi, who's one of their seamsters in the back. She got all of her Eddie tribute stuff in.
Yeah.
The only thing, I was almost crying. I really was, because that we'd been following that entire revolution on the NXT after show. Anytime they would call them divas on the show, it's like, nope, women's division.
Yep.
A women's match, and anytime somebody would slip and say divas, you'd be like, what was that? No, I'm sorry. They got me. They got to me. I'm sorry. So we were pushing heavily, like, why is it I've always hated the term diva.
Right.
It works for Total Divas.
Yeah.
And luckily, that's where it's going to stay now.
Right.
Women's wrestling has returned, and that match, some would say that having Ric Flair get involved with the finish says the company's not entirely ready to let the women handle things on their own merits.
Yeah.
But that solidified Charlotte as a heel, and and Rick, when Rick finally gets shoved off by Charlotte,
which you see coming.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Charlotte's going to be even more bad.
Yeah.
She's going to be worse than Ric Flair. Ric Flair's going to be like, hey, I'm the dirtiest player in the game, but I don't know who the hell taught her all of that. That match, I was edge of my seat, breathless, like all of the stupid crap that you hear from schlocky descriptions.
No, you always walk into that match, that kind of match, and you're worried. You're like, is it going to live up to the hype? And because you're championing them so much, because those women have fought their asses off to get to the situation that they're in. Mm-hmm. And so you want it to be a great match, and you worry that maybe it won't live up to the hype, and if it doesn't, like, people are going to turn on it, because not all the fans are like us. Like, a lot of the fans you see, they'll turn off during women's matches, or they'll start chanting for Sasha. We're seeing that now being a thing during matches, which really bothers me. They're not willing to lean into it and just enjoy it for what it is, because trust me, we could go right back to Summer Rae versus what's her face, Eva Marie, and then that there you go, eat that up, you know. And that's not right. I mean, you got to enjoy and respect the wrestlers that are there at this point, because a better future is coming for them and also for us as fans. Because this isn't where it ends with Sasha and Charlotte and Becky and all the and Bailey.
Bailey, Alexa, all the women coming up from NXT.
Exactly. And the Japanese woman, I can't think of her name right now. Asuka.
Asuka, she's Nia so Jax.
Fantastic. Yeah, Nia Jax. Right. This is the next level. Mm-hmm. And there's another level after that. You know, when Flair came on, we're like, what? When Hogan came on, we're like, what? Then Hartman, then Savage, then all these guys. Everything is next level, next level, next level. We got Rock, we got Stone Cold, you know, and some could argue Cena. Like, there's next level stuff. Dan Bryan, CM Punk. So to me, it's like that respect has to be paid. And I'm so glad they had a fantastic match. And even Becky Lynch, even though she you knew she was going to be the one that was going to be pinned or submitted, she had a great match. Like, she did great moves.
Clocked in the face pretty hard.
Yeah, that black eye.
That match, because of everything behind it, I liked it a little bit better than the World Heavyweight Championship match.
Yeah.
But I'm biased because I've been covering NXT for almost 2 years now.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the final match. Yeah. But the card as a whole was really good. I feel really bad for... Did you go back and watch Ryback and Kalisto?
Yeah.
They had... In the arena, there was a power outage.
Oh.
Or a connection problem, so people couldn't get their tickets scanned. So as a result, everybody was outside waiting to get in while the show started.
Oh, man.
So that match
there wasn't people
had, in. Yeah, they, I mean, they like stuck a dark match. Tight shots, yeah. Like you couldn't really see anything in the arena, but from where we were, there's maybe less than 10,000 people in the arena for that one. And what they showed on, when they cut to commercial, Ryback had some awesome offense that mm-hmm. never got seen. Yeah. So the way that they're cutting TV matches has always been frustrating. But for WrestleMania, even just because it's on the pre-show,
yeah.
I don't know if that was the one that was on USA or not. They got the short end of the stick, to be 100%.
He keeps getting the short end of the stick, which I feel bad about because I like Ryback a lot, and mm-hmm. I didn't used to. Like, I thought, like most people, I would chant Goldberg. I didn't chant Goldberg, but I got the point, yeah. and I was in that camp for a while. But when you listen to him in interviews and when you listen to him on podcasts and when you watch his work and see his progression, you can't doubt the man's love for the business, mm-hmm. the man's love for his wrestling, and the man's love for the WWE. And I think that's really important. And for me, I've come around a complete 180 on him and become a huge champion of him. So when he goes on these podcasts and he's complaining about his position, he's complaining about where he's being, how he's being booked, I think he has every right to do it because
yeah.
he needs to be booked in better situations. Even when he lost the match at Payback, which we just saw, I was like, okay, it's a good loss, but
it was a good match.
It was a good match, but
and
like,
I have to say, what did the back of his belt say?
Oh yeah,
Stealing the pre-show or pre-show stealer yeah. or something.
Right.
Yeah, did you hear there's I don't know if it's been confirmed or not, but supposedly Ryback has asked for a leave from television.
What?
As of last night.
To do what?
Supposedly he's waiting out the rest of his contract, which ends in the summer. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that we're getting with all of the folks that are leaving, that are getting hurt, is it's providing an extra space for somebody to
yeah.
come up.
Yeah.
It's also something that I'm a big fan of is all of the folks that have been leaving or let go. Now WWE is sowing their professionalism and their oats in independent
uh-huh.
companies.
Yeah, you see that.
And everything is getting bumped up in quality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Wade Barrett is supposedly not renewing his contract.
Yeah.
The people who leave from NXT. Now that WrestleMania is over, there tends to be like a quote-unquote spring cleaning.
Yeah.
But I don't know who they would even start to.
My God, I would even push Ryback to go down to NXT. Look, NXT saved Eva Marie. Eva Marie was done, as other than just a total diva and someone you could take a picture of in a bikini. I mean, she was done.
She's very attractive.
Yes, undoubtedly. She's
very,
a very beautiful woman. However, as a wrestler, she's horrible. And she has not progressed necessarily as they were hoping, mm-hmm. But she's a great heel. If she leans into when she leans into the heel stuff, she's great. And I think Ryback could go back down to NXT, rebuild himself down there and his reputation and people fall. And then so when he debuts again back on the roster, he's got all the NXT fans who are already there who've been championing Finn Balor coming, championing the two dudes that just came up.
End Zone Cass.
No.
Vaude Villains.
The two dudes who are coming and are with AJ.
Oh, yeah.
I forget.
Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah, Anderson and Gallows. Like, Anderson and Gallows have nothing but tights. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no gimmick there.
No.
But they love them so much, they're still champions.
And not to go off too much of a side thing, but my theory is they don't have a name yet because once Finn debuts, they're going to have name,
yeah.
And then everything's going to be made over for that.
Bullet Club?
Yeah. Yeah. Or Bulletproof, whatever yeah. they decide to call it.
Or the Balor Club.
Balor Club, yeah. There's a... The problem also, quote unquote problem,
yeah.
is that there's so much of an influx of talent.
Yeah.
So that's great. And, yeah. and that's seemingly starting to slow down with known talent.
Yeah.
In NXT, like Samoa Joe being the champion now is something never thought. I mean, him in WWE is one thing.
Yeah.
Or full-time WWE because he wrestled the dark match back when he was a kid.
Yeah.
He wrestled S.A. Rios.
Wow.
How's that for a flashback?
Wow.
Yeah, so there's so much Eric Young showing
that
up.
That was insane! Of all the people!
Well, when we were sitting in the crowd for TakeOver
yeah.
and seeing the shot of Bobby Roode,
yeah.
it was like, what the hell are you doing? And he, that was, let alone... I'm blanking on his name, but the Japanese talent that was there, and I flippin' love him, but I can't believe I forgot. But they showed him there. He's going to be a part of the Global Cruiserweight Series, which is another thing that they're doing to try to bring focus to all of these other worldwide brands, which is so smart.
Yeah.
So smart. But WrestleMania as a whole, I absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah.
I can't understand. Oh, I mean, I can understand the fandom going, oh, no, it's stupid. I don't want to cancel WWE Network. And I use that as a joke now. Anytime there's, I have like a small like gripe, I always go hashtag cancel WWE Network.
Don't ever cancel that network.
No, God, no.
You know what I spent 2 hours doing last night? Mm. Watching old ECW matches.
Really?
I had 2 hours to kill. I had done a podcast for Game of Thrones with these guys at Film Beef, and I had some time, and I went and saw.
Oh, you found one to do.
Yeah, I found two to do. Actually, Christian asked me on the Schmoes No to do one too, so that was nice. It was a full day, and then I went and saw it again with a friend of mine, that Game of Thrones season, the episode two, and then when I went home, I was like, oh, I'm home early. I've got a couple hours. I don't really want to watch anything on TV.
Let's watch more violence and bloodshed.
Yeah, so I was watching an old Mikey Whipwreck with Tajiri with the Hubu
Tajiri.
Yeah, Tajiri, and against their
old tag system.
Yeah, it was like watching that, and then the New Jack was on with Rhino and Sandman. Came out with Justin Credible and Jack. Lisa Marie. So to me, I was like, I spent 2 hours back in heaven, you know, because the network should never go away. It can always fill your day if you love wrestling. It's always something to watch.
Sometimes it's just going on and seeing what's on.
Yes.
And other times it's, what are some of these playlists? Have you seen the new playlists that they've added?
Yeah.
They added a new China playlist, which was.
Great.
Yeah, it was pretty phenomenal.
I got to see that.
Mm. Did you see TakeOver?
Yes,
While we're in the arena,
Nakamura is who you're thinking of.
No, that's not who I was thinking of. It was somebody that they showed for a brief second, and it was just like, what is he doing here? Right. Even though I saw him at the hotel earlier,
right?
But but Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn,
brother,
I I've said this several times. We watched the match. Like Sami's music hit, and we were skanking in the arena, and then the silence. Could have been forever. Yeah. It felt like it was forever, and I was freaking out. You can ask the wrestling compadres who got me the seat. So I was sitting next to them. Yeah. I was just like, I don't know if the world is ready for what's about to happen. This is gonna be insanity. Boom, boom, boom. And I have the music on my damn phone because I couldn't get it out of my head for a week. That match, we sat. We loved, we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We went back to our Airbnb and watched it two more times.
Yeah.
I can watch that match forever.
I watched it by myself. Then my friends who had been out of town came back and they wanted to watch WrestleMania. So I went over and we watched, and I said, listen, whatever time we have, it's a 5-hour show. But let's watch this match off NXT TakeOver first before we start watching WrestleMania. And there was a little bit of pushback, and I'm like, no, trust me, you're going to be too tired by the end of 5 hours to appreciate this match. You have to watch it first. Everyone went nuts. Nuts.
It's the textbook of what a match should be in terms of these guys didn't even have a face-to-face.
No, it's amazing.
They never talked directly, but their chemistry and their the move, everything.
Yeah.
The whole match was just perfection. And after, funny sort of side comment, after watching it, I was like, I can't see Nakamura not in that huge fight picture. Yeah. I can't see him doing anything other than blockbuster matches. Uh-huh. Like, he would be NXT's Brock Lesnar. He would only show up at the biggest things. I can't see him fighting guys like Ty Dillinger. And then sure enough, the first week, he fights Ty Dillinger in an amazing match.
Yeah,
and like, good, that's the... like. Ty Dillinger has always been one of my favorites, not to rub him the wrong way, but anything in NXT seems like small beans compared to what Shinsuke Nakamura is capable of.
Yeah. And I'm so glad, and this is not, I want to walk the line here. I'm so glad that he's getting the right commentary for the work he does. I love Jim Ross to death. He is killing New Japan professional wrestling. It's driving me insane. Me, as a commentator, I'm trying to build to that moment where I can do this for a living and call matches and do whatever, in whatever arena, wrestling or sports. And so it drives me nuts when I watch Jim Ross because he's too old to do it. Now, there's nothing wrong with Jimmy. I love Jimmy growing up. But at some point, you got to stop, because because he doesn't have the right pace to call those matches, and he at times he's killing the momentum of the matches.
Back, I watched the first show where it was him and Matt Stryker doing it. And the Wrestle Kingdom, and it was much harder to get into the matches. Surprisingly,
it is, because it's like listening to, you know, he's just too slow, and it doesn't build up, you know. So
when you don't have as much of a familiarity with the folks, if you don't have if you don't have a good script in front of you you can't really sell it as much as you would want. And Matt Stryker, do you watch Lucha Underground?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we started doing a show here on After, or we started doing a show at AfterBuzz.
Great.
For it, finally convincing, like, no, it's a TV show that uses wrestling instead of like a straight up show, because it has a season count. And we I can't talk about it too much, but we went to a taping.
Nice.
Last weekend. Was it last weekend already? Damn. So we went to a taping last weekend, and one, not hearing Matt Stryker was one thing, but Matt Stryker and Vampiro are awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're
an awesome team. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they know how to put on a live show.
Yeah.
In the same way that NXT knows how to put on a live show, but it's run much more like a TV show instead of like a wrestling show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Melissa Santos, the ring announcer, sometimes she might flub an entrance. It's like, no, it's going back, back. And then they pull everything back. And they don't play music live.
Oh, wow.
So it's all just flat, and it's just people walking to the ring, and they add all of that stuff in post. I've even heard stories of Dario Cueto even messing up a line like a couple of times and then laughing and going, okay, all right, everybody, okay, stop. Okay, all right, okay. It's a completely different type of show, but man, do they know, they know how to put on a show.
Yeah, one of my friends just got hired as one of their main cameramen over there, one of their ADs. Yeah, my friend Quinn Saunders, and he directed me in a film like 10 years ago, and we just stayed friends, and he's like, dude, anytime you want to go, let me know.
We should, like, you should come with us the next time we go.
I would love to go, dude. Of course.
Because they also know how to take care of press.
Yeah.
I will say, because their VIP area, it's food, it's beer, nice. It's wine. The wrestlers walk to and from. We met Cody Christopherson.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was an awesome guy to talk to. Yeah. We went with Kevin Gill was visiting down for the week. He did our Lucha Underground show. It was just a fun environment.
Yeah.
I can't say it because I don't know if he's going to be a part of the show or not, but a former world heavyweight champion was in the audience. here I'll type it out. But what are some people have been asking us on the gimmick to talk about Lucha Underground, and I don't even know where to start with. I jumped in with season two. It's pretty good, right?
Yes.
but that's how we've been saying it.
Better not put the belt on him again, man.
I have no idea where to start because I started with season two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I talked Chavo when I was at Geek Nation. Chavo does a show there on video, and right after Eddie passed, Chavo came on to do like a posthumous show and talk about Eddie. And I was very lucky to have just finished recording a podcast there and saw him coming through. And one of the producers there, Oren, he walked me over to him and introduced me to him because he knows I'm a huge wrestling guy. Mm. And Chavo and I talked, and Chavo told me, he's like, this is what we're doing with it. This is what our goal is. Yeah, it's a TV show. Yeah, we do the vignettes. They're acting. Like, we decided to take away the whole idea that this is somehow like an altered reality. Mm-hmm. We turned it into a telenovela
instead of a Muppet show.
Yeah,
it's sort of a thing.
Right.
Like, the only thing that's like the Muppet show is professional wrestling.
Right.
So when the Muppets are on Raw, it's like, this, I don't know why this makes perfect sense, but it does. This feels right. And it's not weird seeing Jack Swagger talk to Miss Piggy, but hell, let's get some more of it. Whereas, what was it, 2 weeks ago now? Where I forget which of the Disciples of Death ripped out the still beating hearts and seemingly evolved into like a new being. And it's not going to be weird if he shows up in the same mask, but as a different wrestler playing him.
Right.
It's so It's yeah. fun,
yeah.
but it's so bizarre.
It really is bizarre.
It's the best bizarrety.
I agree. And they put the camera in the right places that make it feel as if you're like sneaking in or watching something you shouldn't be watching. And which is what TNA tried to do and wasn't effective.
Oh, God,
as effective as it. And then later WCW tried to do as well, like where they'd sneak the camera in. And it doesn't, you know, you have to have the right production people involved to get that correct. The lighting, I mean, all the color that they use, like everything, the way it's all set up, it's totally shot like a TV show. Yeah, which I love.
That's, yeah. And the use of sound effects, the absolute insanity of Jack Evans and PJ Black having a nunchuck fight with Drago and Aerostar in the bathroom. And Aerostar has like space nunchucks because they glow. And we've had an ongoing gag on the show where anytime we bring up Aerostar, we play the clip of Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a fellow checker, eh? It's the weirdest thing, but I'm absolutely in love with the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had one of the executive producers in,
oh, nice.
Krista Joseph, and okay. He was a former writer for WWE.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if he's listening to bring this up, but this is just for a point of reference to John. He was the guy who played Big Dick Johnson
what?
For DX.
Oh.
And that's the only thing that people bring up. And we, like, when he was coming in, we went, not talking about nobody that whatsoever. That we're just talking about Lucha Underground. And afterwards, he was like, thank you so much for not. And now I bring it up on here, but he's not here. But he loved the show so much. When Good. We were back there, we had wrestlers and producers and all sorts yeah. of things saying, like, oh, hey, we love the show. Thank you so much for, awesome. For doing the show. Yeah, they love their fans yep. in a way, and it's still such a small community where they can have that personal connection.
Well, I liken it to what's going on with our lives at this point. Right, we have so many followers, but we don't have like 50,000.
No,
so we're still able to communicate with our quote unquote fans or people who like us, you know, on Twitter or on Instagram, sometimes on Facebook or on YouTube. Mm-hmm. At this point, if any of us ever gets to 50,000 or 100,000, it's going to be harder because there's going to be more people, and so. I think it's great that they are smart enough to follow that model because they know it matters to because those are the people that are going to go with you when you go to your next level. If you become more successful, those are the people that are going to be your foundation and your base. And
one super fan is more important than 10 regular fans because one super fan will go to the ends of the earth yep. for you
and spend the money,
yep. even though like. There are fans who go to every single Lucha Underground right. taping, and because we had a fan who had a sign that would only make sense if they were at a previous taping. Like they wow. found out by being at a previous taping this thing and yeah. they used that thing to make a poster. And it's like that how but I didn't even like trying to catch up with what's happening at the tapings yeah. for season 3. Like I was behind on that and I thought it was just like, oh, they're wishing that particular performer well. Oh yeah. No, that's true. That's real. They are the champion. How weird. So yeah, they know how to put on a show. I'm really yeah. happy that we started watching it.
Agreed.
So Payback was this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why we wanted to do the show was to talk about it. I really enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
It was super solid. Mm-hmm. The skit, the first match having the scare for Enzo.
Yeah.
Just completely took the air out of the room because here yeah. are these two NXT graduate tag teams yeah. with the New Day Snapchatting live from the side of the stage.
Brilliant.
Just
eating
madness.
Pizza,
eating,
brilliant, all of it.
Just hanging out, watching a good wrestling match.
Yeah.
And it had to end so abruptly. Who knows what happened, but at like what caused that to happen.
Oh, I think it's just an accident.
Yeah, like, accidents happen.
Accidents happen in the ring. I mean, that's why they're so rare, because these guys are professionals. It's rare. Mm-hmm. But anything you see, there are accidents. There are going to be accidents. It's a miracle that this doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. That just speaks to their professionalism and how the amount of training that they have, that these are few and far between when they happen, especially on pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Very rare.
And it's also unfortunate that Enzo had not a similar thing happen, but he was out with an injury in NXT, oh. and Colin Cassidy had to sort of take over, and he was a singles guy for yeah. a while, and he got even bigger, and then Enzo came back, and then they got even bigger, yeah. and then which was weird because he was feuding with Aiden English at the time before mm. Simon Gotch was even a part of
oh,
the
wow.
company, and
right.
before that tag team was even a thing, right. and now that's kind of come back around oh, full circle, yeah.
What did you think? What did you think? What did you think was going to be the original outcome of the match?
The Dudleys were going to cost Enzo and Cass the match, and the Vaudevillains were going to win.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, because that was never resolved, and then the Dudleys were off TV for weeks.
Right, right.
And then last night they said we didn't get a chance to beat anybody up, so that kind of went, oh, they were going to come and beat up somebody.
Right.
Because there was never, just because Enzo and Cass won the match doesn't mean that's over.
Right, right.
Can I tell
you that I never thought the Vaudevillains were going to come to the main roster?
I think you did.
NXT. Yeah, I think I said that. Yeah. I was like, they're so good at NXT. I don't know if they can make that jump. And unfortunately, it seems like they're trying hard and they're not getting over with the fans.
But here's so sort of the blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Was the injury with
maybe
Enzo.
It might be
because
yeah.
did you see their promo
yes.
last night?
Oh my gosh.
So them going, whoa. A real man would have finished the match.
That was terrible.
Just got the even more like, oh, F you, man. You guys, no. And then that makes Colin seem even more like the hero while New Day is just like, yeah. Oh God, New Day.
One of the most amazing things ever, right? You have to say,
since Daniel Bryan, one of the greatest natural progressions of a character. Yeah. That there has been.
Well, name me the last time a black stable mm-hmm. has gone over with the fans this much.
I don't want to say derogatory, but the Nation of Domination right. was a...
It was a play on Black Power. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Black Panthers and all that stuff, because it was going on at the time. You know, it was because,
and so it was vilified.
It was vilified, right. And they were villains the whole time. They almost mm-hmm. never went face. And they only went face when Rock became face eventually.
Yeah.
But they were never face. New Day became... I mean, New Day basically took the Rock script. They were so bad as villains that people eventually started to love them because they were so funny. Mm-hmm. And they are natural personalities. And so I think they're one of the greatest things... one of the most amazing revolutionary things I've ever seen in wrestling.
And... I will say that going back to WrestleMania 33,
yeah.
Seeing it took the air out of the room. I forgot the match that was on during. Maybe it was the ladder match. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we had to see all of the production stuff. So they were prepping for the next match and the next entrances while the matches were going on. And everybody just sees a huge box of Bootios getting wheeled in from the back. And we're like, oh, we know what's coming next. This is going to be great. It was so weird. We didn't expect it to turn over. And then they come out dressed as Saiyans. And like the Dragon Ball Z outfits were Kofi's idea. The craziest last thing I would expect to see. From them, though not, I guess. I don't know.
They have all three of them have great comedic personalities separately. So you put them together and you see that they're amenable to each other's ideas. It's just a perfect combination of the right guys at the right time with the right gimmick. And when it happens, you love it because it's very organic. Because WWE throws so much at the wall trying to see what sticks. And it's these rare ones that stick for like... forever. People still do what chants.
Yeah.
Like these rare moments that will stay forever in
the
industry.
There will always be a clap, clap, clap style chant forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Just because of New Day. I'm very excited to see them and Enzo and Cass go back and forth.
Yep.
But I'm a little bit more excited to just because I don't know what will happen when the Vaudevillains and the New Day go back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. So because so far it's been pretty interesting to see what Aiden English and Simon Gotch have been doing on the mic, because the ability and the talent is there.
Absolutely.
They're still throwing me off, whoever is running the board there. The fact that they're running the intro video in color.
Yeah.
And then it comes out to black and white.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not how that was. Like, just re-export the video in black and white. That's all you have to do. Though it is great to see Ryan Katz, who is their carnival barker, on Raw and SmackDown again, because he was the lemon last time.
Yeah.
Fun. A lot of fun. But having... Enzo being released the same night, thank God.
Yes.
Having Kevin Owens be the one to break the news that he
was
okay with the weird
selfie. The perfect face.
And people have started photoshopping him into other pictures. So, they took that.
Hindenburg.
Well, they did that. Remember Ellen's big selfie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's in there now? It's so stupid. But I love it. Absolutely love it. And the fact that they were like, send out Owens and Zayn. They'll be able to, fix everybody.
And they really did.
That was
match, man.
Really, really phenomenal. I liked the women's match a lot.
Yep.
Didn't like the finish.
Yeah, I didn't like the finish either.
Really upset about it.
Well...
Not really upset about it, but upset about it.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Sure.
I have feelings on it, and sometimes I'm not always, I just got to walk the line with some of my thoughts on these things, because it's not against anybody, but you watch it, right? And it's my opinion. I think Natty is from a different school. Charlotte's from a different school. And I think those two in combination don't 100% work. I think Natty, I love her to death. Natty's always pushing to be part of the main roster. You see her in the real behind-the-scenes stuff where she's really hurt when she gets cut from shows. And she really wants another shot with that belt. But, like, and even when you see her on Total Divas, it's like watching someone trying to catch up to a moving train, and she's constantly behind everybody. And they're all nice to her, they're great to her, they're sweet to her because they know she's a legacy, and she's trained some of them as well. Just like Molly Holly's trained a lot of them back then, and so there's the legacy thing. But I think they're beyond her, and to put her in a match for me, it just bothered me because I think there are better. Why are we waiting on the Sasha Charlotte? What are we waiting for next WrestleMania?
I think we're building up to that.
Yeah.
Because I think as of right now, we are actually building towards a women's championship Money in the Bank ladder match.
Ooh.
Did you know? Nothing? You're not thinking that? How did you not think of that? We don't have another title worthy enough of a ladder match. So what's the point of having one ladder match for a Money in the Bank briefcase? Money in the Sasha Banks.
Oh.
Then she wins the match, has that briefcase for the entire year.
Perfect.
Comes out the night after Royal Rumble and says, "I'm cashing this in for a main event at WrestleMania."
Boom.
So, like,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, because they showed her.
What are you doing here? Get out of here. Go right for them.
I'm telling. If the turnover rate wasn't so bad, I would have already applied.
That's true.
They had a shot of her talking to Shane, and I don't remember if that was Monday night or Payback. And I was like, it's like they're talking about a Money in the Bank ladder match. That's the only thing they could be talking about. Because we have so much female talent now that can do that.
Yeah.
I think it'll be and you want a multi-woman match?
Yeah.
Put a ladder in the middle of the ring.
I'm in for that.
But in terms of a Natty, I think they saw how well it worked in NXT and they copied it.
That's true. Good point.
That's 100% what they did, but the characters that they were then don't fit in with the characters that they are now. So they had to, for some reason, they're making a really long-winded WCW reference back to when Charles Robinson was in Ric Flair's
little
pocket.
Mitch,
come on, the only reason you're doing that is so that you can see Bret Hart put the sharpshooter on people.
It was lame.
He looked like he was in pain.
It was, of course he's just gonna recover from cancer.
Yeah.
It's not a screw job. It's not a Chicago screw job. It's not to even make that reference. I thought was so kind of off, out of step is what I would say. Out of step.
I agree with that.
And an old decision. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vince had a hand in it. Nothing again. I love this. I love Vince. But like you can see shades of certain things, and no one was like, "Oh yeah, this is so good." You could see the whole audience almost collectively groan when it happened. There wasn't.
It wasn't as much of a boo as it was people going,
"I saw it." Because Shawn Michaels not involved. You can't have a screw job without Shawn Michaels.
Well, not just that. We've gotten to a place as a company and as a fandom where we're over it.
Yeah.
They made up in the ring.
20 years ago.
And even so, 15 years later, they get in the ring, they shake hands, they hug, they become friends. We got the DVD. We got two X amount of specials that you can watch on the WWE Network for only $9.99 and from the first month's free. As much as you want. So, if it was Shawn Michaels' daughter.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But Ric Flair had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So it was such a bizarre choice to me just to keep them going for two extreme rules where they might have a submission match or no disqualification or whatever. They might have something.
So they're going to have her fight Natty again.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that will be that.
Yeah.
And then the first one was like, "I don't know if you could beat me." And then the second time would be like, "Oh no, I can beat you."
Yeah, I feel like for the women's division to go to the next level, we're missing two or three more wrestlers to keep those rivalries going and to keep even the matches that aren't like the main matches, mid-card matches, still interesting. And I don't think we have them yet. I think when Bayley comes up, when Osaka comes up, I think Asuka comes up, there'll be more, and then you'll have a fully fleshed out roster that can actually get the fans' interest.
Last night, Emma and Becky had an awesome match.
I love Emma.
Yeah, no, and the fact that
Emma is the best.
Emma is. I really love heel Emma.
Heel Emma's great.
I went back and watched the best of the NXT Greatest Matches Volume 1, and watching Emma versus Paige for the NXT Women's Championship was great, but it was just like, this is a completely different new version of Emma is like, that's what you were trying to get to. Yeah. And as much as everybody loved Emma when she first showed up in the dancing and the bubbles and everything, she had to have that failure in order to reach this new height that is just awesome.
Agreed, man.
So I think she and Becky, Lana's going to keep trying to get into the ring. I suppose they just, I unfortunately think her time has passed.
Yeah.
For whatever reason why she was gone, I think she had like finger surgery or something. She was off TV for a little while and Rusev kind of fell off too. So as a result, the We Want Lana chance didn't matter. Though now Rusev's going for the United States Championship again, and Lana's back with it's
weird.
It's weird.
They're breaking up the League of Nations, and I don't know why they're breaking them up. I mean, they were only getting over together. The reason they put them together is because they weren't getting over separately fully. You know,
I'd say the only person that needed the League of Nations was Sheamus.
Yes,
because since Alberto Del Rio came back, he was. I mean, he fights really snug and really tight. Yeah. So that you never know with him, you get that appeal of he might hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So you watch it for that. Rusev's just an entertaining SOB.
Yeah.
So like
Rusev's great.
I'd never forget when they tore apart the commentary and he picked up the monitor and said, "I am the TV champion now. This is mine." And his promo, he did a backstage promo last night that had a little bit of comedy in it.
Yeah.
And I just love the guy.
He's dying to be face. It's time. They're going to do it at some point. He's dying to be face.
But
he's
can't be funny. Like Santino face.
No. He's too powerful to be Santino face, you know?
And much love to Santino.
Yeah.
The whole League of Nations thing is weird, but I'm really excited for Rusev. The women's division, this whole year, as long as they don't drop the ball.
Yeah.
It'll be phenomenal because I still say last year's WrestleMania 31, my favorite match of the entire weekend was the non-televised Sasha versus Charlotte from the NXT house show.
Oh,
it's my favorite match of the entire weekend.
Okay.
I was one of the few people in the arena chanting, "We want Sasha."
Yeah.
Whereas everybody was going, "Wait, well, let's go Charlotte. Let's go Sasha," including my fiance. And she said, like, she's a theater person. So she understands the show of it all.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily the athleticism and like, oh, whatever, muscly men, who cares?
You mean your fiance?
My fiance. Yeah. So, but she went like, anytime I talk about Sasha or the women's wrestling, she goes, "Yeah, that match at WrestleMania was really good."
Yep.
And it's like, well, hold on, because I want to show her Sasha Bailey, which I still have not gone back and watched.
That's until Zayn fought Nakamura, that was my favorite match of the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And right now
that was my favorite match of 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
And so far,
and I hadn't seen anything good until Zayn, and to match that until Zayn Nakamura.
And that's for me, so far my favorite match of 2016. And NXT's the place to do it. Yeah. But though they're the tag team division, we gush about them all the time on a weekly basis on the NXT After Show on AfterBuzz TV every Wednesday at 6 p.m. One of these days we'll have you on, John.
That'd be great.
And because we watch the show live in studio, we have it on the TV, so we all talk about it and
for the love of God,
we have a good time.
Get me on there. Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's your feeling about Miz, man? What are we doing with Miz?
I love what they're doing. I feel like the only thing that's making it relevant is the fact that he is the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
That's the only thing. Like, I love what he and Maurice are doing.
I like Maurice. I love that
hilarious.
She's back.
Hilarious.
Yes.
And like, I think it was the first or second week when Miz was like doing, he was getting like a facial or whatever, and Maurice was talking to Cesaro, and then just in a huff he picks up the water, and then she goes, no, domestic, and he spits out the water like, oh, disgusting. Like, I always love the Miz. He's a great heel.
Yeah.
But I feel like the only reason why the only thing that's making him be booed is the fact that, hey, you have the Intercontinental Championship, which is supposed, I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
You boo the people you don't like, and people don't like the Miz.
I don't. Yeah. I like his story. It's still hard to believe, like 3 years ago, as he was a main event at WrestleMania.
Was it 3 or 4 years ago? 5 years ago.
Five years ago now.
I think it was 28 or 29.
Woo! Yeah. Even worse. So, but like, he's been trying to get back to that level ever since, and he can't quite get there with the fans. You know, he's stuck in the mid card, and he will be forever. And I think they have to find something new to do with him that has nothing to do with wrestling. It just isn't over. In my opinion, he's not over enough for him to be in the spot that he's in. You know, Cesaro should have that belt. And Cesaro needs a push. It'd be a great way for him to push. And they'll probably give it to him in Extreme Rules. Who knows? He wrestled an amazing match.
I think it's going to be a fatal four-way.
Ooh, yeah, with
just the way that Owens and Zayn got involved.
Zane's,
And we might see a surprise out of that. Owens talking about how he needs that championship back. Him needing something to hold and say, this is mine, I did it, is, I love him for that.
That's a good point.
But also, if we get Cesaro and Zayn again, their matches were absolutely phenomenal down in NXT.
Two really good matches.
And earlier, for talking to Reseda. But the Intercontinental area, what? No, I mean it. I mean, Reseda, I mean PWG.
I know you mean it.
But, or Ring of Honor, any of those places. But I like how much attention the Intercontinental Championship is getting.
Yeah.
I wish that the same could be said for the United States Championship, because it fell off, like, there was kind of a feud between Ryback and Kalisto leading up to WrestleMania. Yeah. And then by the time Payback came up, they essentially came out and said, same thing. You just want to do again? All right, let's do that again. Because Kalisto is such a great talent that he deserves a run. I want the open challenge to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why that stopped, just because it's not John Cena.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of Batista and Rey Mysterio. Like, they're matchups. And so I don't understand. It breaks my heart a little bit that Ryback is going to wait out his contract, because I think he could start a whole program with him and it would work. And it would help both of them get over even more, especially because Ryback can be funny when he's in the right situation, and Kalisto needs a little bit, because he's in a mask, he needs more attention, he needs more time, you know, like Ray just is one of those rare ones that got over right from the beginning.
Yeah.
But a lot of the luchas with the masks, they don't really get over 100% with the fans all the way to the core, you know what I'm saying?
And I think the Sin Cara getting shelved a little bit. Well, I mean, I'd say they were starting to get over as a tag team, and then when he got hurt, even if it was only for a couple weeks, it was enough to be like, for WWE to go, all right, well, let's get rid of Kalisto, or let's get rid of Sin Cara, which sucks, because they've got really good chemistry. They're a really good tag team. I've always liked Sin Cara 2.0, Hunakara, because Hunico's a great performer. They're trying to. I think they're trying to combat Lucha Underground in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, they are trying to make Rey Mysterio 2.0, but they can't when Rey Mysterio's on the other show.
Yes, exactly.
You know? And even Lucha Underground is trying to make their own Rey Mysterio with Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah.
It's weird. They're trying to fight it in the wrong way. If they stick to what they're good at, if they stick to what their characters are good at. I don't expect we're going to see, like, people ripping out hearts and, like...
No, right.
I mean, technically, Mil Muertes is their version of The Undertaker, but, like, I don't think we're going to go back to, like, the fantastical characters.
But The Undertaker's actually really killing people.
Yeah.
He's
no,
not
that,
really killing.
As opposed to Mil Muertes, who's just...
That's what I'm saying.
Like, or Matanza, who's eating people's heads off. Couldn't be a nicer guy, too. The guy playing Matanza is one of the nicest people.
That's
and
awesome.
He's just a beast on television. But yeah, wrestling's in a really weird place right now.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Reigns and the whole situation. What's your feelings on that?
So I've been a fan of Reigns since The Shield, and nothing has really changed. They had him talk more.
Yeah,
which whatever. Like, I have such a weird relation where I'm at the studio most of the time. I don't. if I see a promo, I don't watch it just because I can't stop. Right. But if I walk by and I see a match, it's like, oh, Reigns is being Reigns. Yeah. And he's still an amazing athlete, yeah, and he still covers himself really well. And the fact that they gave him Triple H to fight,
yeah,
is like, here is Triple H saying that this kid is good.
Yeah.
Here is AJ Styles. Here's the company saying, we trust this darling that everybody has been waiting for, yeah, with Reigns. And I actually noticed a similarity between Roman Reigns and Charlotte,
yeah,
because they're both legacy talent, mm-hmm, who are relatively green, under five years. Like Hobo,
yeah,
has worked longer than Roman Reigns and Charlotte have. I mean, of course, but they have families, whatever.
Right.
They've both shown their natural abilities for being in that ring.
Yeah.
Now Charlotte maybe a little bit stronger on the mic.
Yeah.
Maybe. She had to learn that, though, because, yeah, she was super green when she first showed up on NXT TV. And that evolved. And Reigns now is evolving,
yep,
as that character.
Yep.
I don't like how much they're repeating it, but I loved when it was first said, I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, but I'm the guy.
Yeah.
That's it. Like,
I agree.
That's them going, deal with it. Mic,
yep,
drop.
Yep.
And I really enjoy it. And his work is speaking for it.
Yeah, I agree.
I was in that arena when the crowd changed at WrestleMania 31 when Brock Lesnar was beating the crap out of him, and, yeah, he started laughing and, yeah, just like, whatever, dude. The fans like this guy. They, yeah, want to like this guy, but then it comes into the internet wrestling community of people like, it's fun to boo Roman Reigns because, right, that's a thing that you do at wrestling shows now. But I have seen the majority of the fans that love this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm in the camp as well, man. Mm-hmm. I initially was one of those people that pushed back against them shoving him down our throat. I didn't think he was ready. But then, mm-hmm, I would have the second thought, which was, who is ready? Who is ready? And it wasn't Ambrose, and it wasn't anyone else that was lined up, I don't think. And I think they made the right choice. The problem is that they booked him incorrectly, I think, and the lead up to that. But Reigns has found a way to persevere through that. And, mm-hmm, you're right. What you said, I feel the exact same way. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just the guy. Mm-hmm. And that should be his T-shirt. That should be what happens. And it's going to mirror The Rock in a way, because he's going to stay that heel that doesn't quite go one way or the other. Like, Rock was so heel, but I think Reigns is going to be doing what he needs to do, because he's like, I need to win this title. The title means more to me than anything else. And I thought his match with AJ Styles was fantastic. And AJ, that's one of the best matches AJ's ever wrestled in his entire freaking life. And I was so happy to see him. And it was with
Roman Reigns.
It was with Roman Reigns. And I was happy because AJ knew Roman could take everything that AJ threw at him, mm-hmm, all his crazy moves, all his flying, high-flying moves, everything. Reigns could take it and roll along with it, and push the story of the match, mm, along with it too. And I loved that.
And also the evolution of no count out.
Yes.
And the evolution of no disqualification. No DQ, and that, right, made you go, okay, well, who's coming out, yeah, first? Is it going to be the Usos, or is it going to be Anderson and Gallows? Is it going to be Finn Balor? Like, yeah, who is it? My initial thought, and this was crazy and people think I'm absolutely insane, was that, because it's not going to happen ever,
okay,
was that Anderson and Gallows were going to come out and they were going to start beating up on Reigns, and AJ was going to like, hey, get off of it. I don't need your help.
Yeah.
And then they were going to turn around and Roman was going to get up, and they were all going to do like a gun pointing, pointing at AJ. And then Anderson and Gallows were going to attack. Because what's bulletproof? A shield.
Yeah,
and we got a new shield with Anderson, Gallows, and Reigns. And that's what I thought it was going to be. That, yeah, would have been fun. But you know what? Then you have him going against family, which he's, you know, you can't have, right, him do that.
But you also kind of stunt his growth that he's doing now,
exactly,
as an individual wrestler, which I think we're months away from the crowd completely turning and cheering him. I think WWE, if they're smart enough and they're stubborn enough to persevere through this for the next few months, trust me.
Oh, they're turning
on him. Yeah,
they're good.
Because I think they were stubborn against a lot of the fans' wishes at the beginning, and now the stubborn is helping them. Because I think having watched for over 35 years, you know patterns, you see patterns. Eventually, the crowd's going to turn and, mm-hmm, be in Reigns' corner, and he's going to be a fantastic face/heel when, you know, or neither. He's going to be like the next progression of a guy who holds the belt, mm-hmm, which is neither face or heel.
He's a guy who fights for what's right, but does anything that he can in order to win.
Right.
For the right reasons.
Stone Cold did that.
Stone Cold did that. Yeah. Rock ended up doing that. Yeah. Eddie Guerrero.
Yes.
I mean, beyond classically. Like, he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he was the coolest good guy.
Eddie was the best.
I loved it. I mean, Eddie was what turned my fiance on. Like, she loved Eddie. Yeah. And when Eddie passed, he's like, well, I don't want to watch anymore.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Like, cool, Ray, awesome, but like,
no one's Eddie, man.
No one is Eddie.
Even and it was so great to watch the China tributes. By the way, R.I.P. to China.
Definitely. My God,
such a
that
terrible
was so
loss.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, such a just heartbreaking loss. And you know, the demons catch up to everyone, man. It not everyone, but like the demons, when they catch up to you pretty hard, and eventually, you know, you just succumb, and it's a shame. And a lot of people did her wrong. A lot of people did her like dirt, and I hope those people feel terrible about themselves, because a soul like that, and you haven't heard one person say one negative thing about China ever, like in interviews or anything. What they did to her is terrible. And so God love her, because she fought through everything, and she wasn't someone they created from scratch. She earned her way into the thing and revolutionized the women's game. And
she is without a doubt the greatest female wrestler that the industry has seen.
That's amazing. That's I think you could absolutely be correct on that. She wasn't like one of these lumbering fighters. She, because she was bigger, she still could do everything. She was still flexible. She was still
super athletic,
all that jazz. She was so perfect. And when they did her wrong, I think the women's division has been recovering ever since. Mm-hmm. Like ever since
she got out. Like even I would even say when she won the women's championship, that was a step back.
Yeah,
because here's a woman who
she can fight dudes.
Yeah,
yeah.
She beat Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett let her win.
Yeah,
like this. We know who Jeff Jarrett is. Jeff Jarrett was like, let's do that. And she became the first and so far only women's intercontinental female intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
And I remember I love that match so hard because it was a hardcore match, but Jarrett wanted stuff like from the kitchen.
Yeah,
in
kitchen
there.
Sink match.
It was so stupid, and even Deborah was like, "This is messed up. Like I don't like this that much." But yeah, her legacy.
He's such a jerk. Sometimes.
But China's legacy will definitely live on. WWE Network made a China playlist, which has some of her best stuff on it.
And the reason I'm bringing it up when we talk about Eddie,
her time with Eddie,
her time with Eddie is the best. My
so
favorite time.
Good.
My favorite, even more than DX, the Mamacita stuff. You really got to see China be a character, capable of jokes, capable of running her own program, capable of being the lead in her own program. And I thought that was so. It used all her abilities, both in the ring and outside the ring, to the nth degree. And I love that.
Yeah. She will 100% be missed.
Yeah.
WWE is going in a very weird place.
Yeah.
Really excited to see where it happens. Extreme Rules is only like 3 weeks
already.
So we're going to get presumably a potted plant on a pole match between Chris Jericho and Dean Ambrose.
Oh God,
or
why?
Something. I don't know. But they had a pretty good match too. Payback was a solid show.
It was.
Extreme Rules will. By extreme, there'll probably be a couple of chairs. Who knows? Because we had a tease of a chainsaw and a barbed wire bat, and all we got was at WrestleMania with Ambrose and
Lesnar,
all we got was a couple of chairs and a kendo stick, which is the new WWE hardcore match. And I was like, if you have the chainsaw, at least cut a rope.
Yeah, sure.
Just do something to make people go, holy crap, someone's going to die.
Right.
Like, but no, it's like, all right, hardcore match. Let's get some chairs. It was weird. As a last thing before we go, just wanted to ask.
Yes.
Did you see Camp WWE?
No, I have not watched it yet. It's the let me say it real quick.
Yeah.
The promo where Vince says something about he wants to hunt down Cena
like a beautiful, hyperallergenic, sexy dog.
I was like, I'm not watching this. I was like, this is uncomfortable.
Well,
but then I will eventually watch it though. But tell me.
So I watched the first episode. It's definitely as advertised. It is a lot. There's a lot of cursing in it. but it's the first episode. It's a good pilot.
Yeah.
The fact that it's actually Ric Flair, it's actually Sergeant Slaughter, it's actually Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon says some things that it's like the rumors of what you think Vince is like. And they wrote a character based off of that. Like he steals all of the kids' like care packages from home.
Yeah.
So as a result, they all get homesick. But he's like, whatever. What is this? A bra? I can't wear this, probably. And it's just really stupid. The lines are really well written. And Vince is having fun with it, and that's where you can get the enjoyment. And then the teen counselors are Triple H and Stephanie. So Triple H is trying to like go out with Stephanie, and he thinks Vince is God. So he's like, oh, I missed you so much. Don't touch me. Like, really. And every once in a while, we'll get something like that with Triple H. It's really, really silly, really funny. We don't get a lot of the characterizations of the kids, but just for the character designs, it's cool to see. Little Truth is pretty awesome. Little Show, Little Kevin Owens,
they're all mini versions of the wrestlers.
Though they're not voiced by the wrestlers, but it's Little John Cena, it's Little Rock, it's Little Austin, and Austin's like, mother of this, that, and the other thing. Undertaker is like an emo kid. It's like, our parents are dead. Cool. Like, you know, something like that.
Right.
But it's fun for what it is. It's all right. It's all right. I'll reserve judgment for the going of the season, but I did audibly like guffaw a couple times at some of the ridiculous things that Vince McMahon was doing.
Okay.
Like when he was chasing down John Cena, he pulls a pill out of his suit, throws it in the water, and it turns into a speedboat. And it's like, yeah, that's Vince McMahon. Then he reaches the next shore, whistles, a giraffe rolls up, he gets on it and starts chasing him down with a machete. Wow. It's weird, but it's like, I believe Vince McMahon has a giraffe.
Yes.
And he's got Sergeant Slaughter like on call to like bring order to the campers at a moment's notice. Everybody's like, Stephanie's like, Daddy, no, don't do that. And he's like, all right. And then you see Slaughter like go back down. Just like, all right, whatever. It's funny. It's a start.
Okay.
But any kids watching it will be, it's 100, and they don't bleep out the cursing.
Oh, wow.
So you hear Vince say BS, F word, this, that, the other thing. Flair, bones, almost anything that moves, really changes my feelings on The Revenant. So watch it and you'll find out. So yeah, it's interesting. It's fine. I don't think we're going to do an after show for it just because that's the thing, is it has to be a midnight show, but, go watch Camp WWE, watch everything. WWE is in a fun place right now anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And, Money in the Bank is going to be interesting. Extreme Rules is going to be interesting. I'm calling it. There's going to be a Money in the Bank, women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and we're going to
love that.
Sasha Banks is going to win it, and she's going to carry that briefcase for a year until WrestleMania, and we're going to within 2 years, maybe next year, but maybe the year after, the women's title match is going to be the main event.
Yeah, at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
done.
And what dream of that? Fatal four-way between Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, and Bayley.
Yeah.
The four horse, gotta do it.
Yeah.
I literally was in tears when they came out at the end of the Sasha Bayley match.
That was amazing.
And I got texts from everybody saying, I hate you. You were in the arena for that. And I was like, yeah, but it's amazing.
Yep.
And I still haven't gone back and watched it because it's just letting everything live in my head. Yep. So John, we got to do this again. Yeah, we're definitely going to do this again. Let the folks know where they can find you, and you can do the long version.
Okay. Yeah. Hey guys, you can absolutely find me at The Rocha Says, R-O-C-H-A. That's my homage to The Rock. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I'm on there. You can see the shows I'm hosting, like on the Collider Network. I host the Walking Dead recap show and the Flash recap show on Popcorn Talk Network with Mark. Obviously, we co-host the Jedi Alliance show together.
Damn right we do.
With Star Wars, which is great stuff. And I was loving all the stuff we're getting from the fans. I mean, just the fan art we got today about the Maz Kanata show. That was brilliant. I love how they're responding to the stuff we're doing. So it's so great to see. Also, I am currently recording episodes for a new podcast that I'm doing with a friend of mine who is a film professor here in Los Angeles. He reached out to me after listening to a few of my shows, and he's like, I really want to talk about film with you. And we're calling it The Cinephiles. His name is Steve Morris, he's directed 3 films, feature films, and written a bunch of other things. And so we take one classic film and break it down over an hour, and that's our show. And we'll just take a film and we'll just break down the cast, we'll break down the cinematography, the composers, people involved in the production, the directors, the producers. We'll talk about where everybody was at that time in their careers, and then how the film has left a lasting impact and legacy, not only on film going forward, but but on but the film itself in our daily lives and our pop culture.
Hmm. All right.
And so yeah, we've done already 5 episodes, and we've got the executive producer of My Little Pony coming on this week to talk Superman the movie, which is his favorite movie.
Excellent.
So yeah, so he's gonna Michael Vogel. He's gonna sit in with us and talk about it. So it's great stuff that's going on right now. A lot of stuff, and obviously the top 10 show on the Collider Schmoes Known podcast network. Mm. Me and Matt Nost, we count down the top 10 films every week of whatever is coming out that week. Whether some theme, something, we just count it down. And people getting great responses from people.
Well, it's a good show. Yeah, so
thanks so much.
and aside from that, anytime people call you in to do stuff, you're essentially pretty open, and you like this. I'd like, hey, let's talk wrestling, let's talk whatever. Yeah. I'm happy that you found your Your Game of Thrones shows to be on.
That's right.
Because you're just like, I gotta talk about something.
Yes.
It's a hell of a show that I don't watch. So you can follow all of us here at The Gimmick Pod. We update the show when we can, because Hollywood's busy, wrestling's busy, and it's not a time that we can necessarily schedule, unfortunately. But we're getting better at it, damn it.
Yes.
And we're going to keep doing this version of the show. We're going to keep doing. We're going to bring Hobo back on, but he's traveling a lot too. You can follow him at True Hobo, CWFH Training. You can watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on Fight TV. So the same thing where you can watch Ring of Honor Evolve. You can watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood for free. You can watch him and Jervis Cotton Belly capture the United Wrestling Network championships. Very fun match. They're absolutely insane, and I'm so happy that they're a tag team. We got to get Jervis on soon too. Anyway, I'm rambling. Help support the show. Go to nxteam.spreadshirt.com. We've got gimmick shirts. We've got a lot of stuff based on Hobo, myself, Bill Hanstock, the NX team in general, and we've got a couple ones based off of wrestlers. We've got a fun Austin Aries shirt that's going to be coming out this week. That's
nice.
It's stupid. I'll show you. It's a name. It's a nickname that Bill came up with, and it's a lot of fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica, and make sure to stay tuned to the Wrestling Viewpoint Network, where we will keep posting shows here. Thanks again to Ken Knapsack, and we will see you at the next episode. Thank you, John, again.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a wonderful afternoon.